the other night, maybe it's still stuck in it.
Hello. Can you hear me now? Okay. Good morning. My apologies. I was here very early, but I had to attend another meeting that it is ended up taking longer than expected. But I'm just hoping that Lord members, the issues that we need to deal with public works, I think that we should be able to be done by if it be not like by 11:30 at the latest. I'm just being conservative with time. But and I should take this opportunity to welcome, should I say, Acting Director General? Okay. And your team, you're welcome. I apologize. I don't know how our letters are. But I said to the staff, maybe our letters, our invitation should have a footnote down there that says we would need the presentation 3 days before, at least. I don't know if that message was conveyed to the department, because I never saw the presentation. I just want to say, let's ensure that in each and every letter invitation that is going out, we emphasize that point, so that if it is not happening, we know that people are aware that they are supposed to, or we're supposed to have sent the presentation before, so that members can look at the presentation. But having said that, the department, as far as the second quarter expenditure is concerned, in general speaking, is
sorry, Jim, when you talk about the presentation, you know, I've gone through the presentation that seems to be dealing with EPWP, which is fine, and the National Youth Service, and then also infrastructural development, but I don't find anything about the expenditure for the 6 months. So I don't know whether you're going to raise that, but, or whether they're going to raise it, but I mean, there's nothing.
It's fine. I was still going to come to that. Just to say that the main issue that we really targeted with the department, with all the departments that have appeared before us, it's not just the expenditure of the second quarter, but where there are challenges with this, would like them to come forward. But the reason why maybe we have not requested is because I think they have spent above the 50% benchmark. So, however, it would have been useful if it is not there, because also sometimes the importance of monitoring the expenditure is to ensure that there is we spend, department spend within the what you call it, the parameters of the budget. There's not too much underspending or overspending, because even overspending is a threat as to where the money will come from. So what we really requested, we requested in the budget, they set the target on certain things that need to be done. But the department has not performed to those targets. And the issue that Honorable Swart is raising about EPWP is because most of the work revolves around the Expanded Public Works Program. And the other work, I've gone through their report, but the other work seems to be, a lot of work has been done. And these are areas that we have highlighted to them. Those are areas that have shown a lack of expenditure. So, on that note, I would like to invite Didi and your team to address us.
Thank you, Dr. Sim. Honorable members, good morning. My name is Mandy Safa Jela Mendy.
I'm sorry, I didn't know that it's not on. I'm saying it's really about ensuring to us, the shipping of funds, that I said that we are aware that the shipping of funds would happen, may happen, but we want it to happen in as reasonable way as in as reasonable a way as possible. We don't want them to happen as if the budget was just meant to pass, and then people knew that well, this is not what really we intend. We have got other aims that we would be looking at. It worries us. So I think maybe that's another thing that you will comment on. Thank you very much. Over to you, teacher.
Thank you, Tristan, honorable members. Thanks for this opportunity to appear before you. My name is Mandy Safa Jela Lindi. I'm the acting director general of Public Works, and on my right is Mr. Aaron Mazimuko from our finance unit. On my extreme right is Mr. Stanley Hallison.
Sorry, I didn't
hear
you say finance unit or
saying
the CFO.
What did
you say?
No, it's a finance unit. It's not the CFO. And on my screen right is Mr. Mpoma Shaba, the parliamentary liaison officer, is in the ministry. As far as I've taken note of the request for a 6-month budget, actually it's ready. We will, if you allow us, email it to you by Monday. I was even asking him actually if it's not in your computer, and probably ask for permission to present it. But obviously it will have to be customized to also your needs. So if you can get probably your needs today, you can actually adapt its content to suit the needs of the committee. Um, the issue of the shipping of funds, I think when we probably discuss the budget, certainly we would be able to have a fruitful discussion with the committee on the reasons for the shifting of the funds. And I don't think it's something that we can, we also taking it lightly, but it's something that would need a focused discussion and linked to the budget presentation. Before we do the presentation, I know that I'm going to be talking guided by a letter, mainly on the EPWP, but we've got a number of issues before Mr. Henderson presents the targets. I don't want to briefly talk about why we need the EPWP and also why we have to make the EPWP responsive to what the country needs. I will not go through why we have the EPWP because we all know that we had phase one, now we are on phase two. But I also want the committee to note that we are gearing up now in public works for phase three, given the fact that this is the fourth year of phase two that we are implementing EPWP. And to gear up for phase three, Chairperson, calls upon all of us to begin to think very seriously about further upscaling the EPWP, this is what we are doing with the department, and to ensure that the EPWP is not necessarily every time appearing in front of Parliament, reduced to the issue of the number of targets or work opportunities. The EPWP is broader than that. That we also have to ensure that we report around on issues of training, leadership and our relationship with the construction sector, but also in ensuring that the EPWP is improved, we have to ensure that it does respond adequately when we take the other sectors of the EPWP. It does respond adequately to the needs of this developmental state. But also, when we are discussing the right part of the budget, we can also look at how the EPWP is benefiting from our own maintenance and capital works program. And to ensure that because public works does not necessarily have a budget to get an EPWP project like it is to with the community-based public works program, that we are also responsible to make sure that our budget does achieve the targets that support the achievement or even exceed the targets that were set for the EPWP over this review period. But I also want to share with you all that the infrastructure sector, although it's very key and should be the one actually leading to the realization of the EPWP target, it's actually probably still there, but not necessarily assisting for now with the exceeding of targets. And this is something that we are paying attention to, given the public investment that the country is making in infrastructure. We should otherwise the department the reflection that although we make further upscale beyond the targets, that infrastructure sector to deal with issues of unemployment in the country. We would also know that as a country we have a history of a very sound non-state sector. Our focus also is on ensuring that because the non-state sector is a new sector under phase two, we never had it under phase one. We are looking at how we are going to actually upscale that now. The other issue that we need to comment to can look at first and look forward implementing the EPWP. The issue of local government and the functionality of optimal funding of that particular sphere that particular number of members. I know that we had to respond to a question that there were 278 municipalities, but we're saying that we're only reporting our guest targets realized or achieved by 204 municipalities. Even Honourable Members can begin to interrogate first because one of the reasons why we continue to have a measured success around the performance of the achievement of targets by the municipalities and the fact that we have quite a number of them, even if they are like 74, should be seen in the context of how we supported the local government to be able to perform. The MG has reported this, so I don't have to repeat, but also that Treasury has released a report also this year. And I think maybe...
Yes,
yes, Professor.
I I mean, you've been going on. I didn't want to remind you. I thought that somewhere you would realize things that you think. I just want to remind you that this committee is the standing committee on appropriation.
Okay.
It's not a portfolio committee on public work. It's not a scopa. It's not any other committee. It is this committee, and it is not dealing with public work. Public work is one of the committees that deal with, amongst many other correct departments, I think almost 40, 38 departments. So let's not assume that what the department is aware of, we are aware. I think that I don't think that it's going to help us if we take that approach. We would like to know all those reports. And it means that we should know all the other such reports in the Department of Education, in the Department of Health, in any other, on all the departments. I'm not sure if it is going to be possible for us to be able to do that. Okay, over to you.
Let me leave it with that. I'll hand over to Mr. Henderson to present.
Thank you, Vivian. Thank you, Chair, honourable members. Our presentation said to speak the issues that you have raised in your letter to us. So we will provide information on the work between the creators, the case targets, the achievement of provinces, look at the performance of the NYS, as mentioned in your letter. And then the latter part will deal with the underspending mentioned of 12 million. And then we'll look at the performance of municipalities also. So, slide number 4, we put up there just as a reminder of the work opportunity targets per financial year. From 2019 to 2014, as Vijay has said, we are currently in year 4 of the Expanded Public Works Program. The target for this particular year 2012-13 is the creation of 1.2 million work opportunities. Figure that they reflect there that after, that is at the end of quarter 1 of this financial year, then we will be finalizing the quarter 2 data. We have not put in the data here because we only say to the reporting bodies just to verify before we release it officially through our Minister's Office. Targets, we thought it would be important for honourable members of this committee to know that over the 5-year period, the overall target for the EPWP over the 5-year period of place to the creation of 4.5 million work opportunities. When aggregates the annual target, you will see we get to 4.9 million, but the official target is the creation of 4.5 million work opportunities. But against our targets, we are currently standing at 50% of the overall targets and contribution by individual sectors. That's clearly stated in the slide and in the next slide that follows this one. And you will see overall the sectors have contributed fairly evenly, but the most contributed by the social sector and the community work program of the component of non-state sector. Over the 4 years up to now, in year one, the program EPWP, we have the number of work opportunities reported, we have overperformed in year one, year two, the target has been achieved, year three, the 70% of the target, and currently we're standing at 30%, that's after quarter one of the target for 2012-13. So we are confident that...
I wonder if there's anything that's going back to clarity. The previous slide, the year one, you know, one day you say you achieve until 40% of your target you achieve. But when you go to the next slide, and you look at the whole situation, you get to 50%. How do you tie those two?
Thank you, Honourable Member. What we are showing in this slide is on slide 8, actually the performance against the targets for financial year. So, in year 1, there was an overachievement against the target of 550,000 work opportunities year 2, target achieved, target overperformance year 3, 97% target, and year 4 to be 9%. And then what you're saying is, if we look at the performance against, for the 4 years, we started to 4.5 million work opportunities on the river. We are 50% against the 5-year target. Look at on slide 5. Challenges for the capacity many municipalities have been done that from the National Treasury. This slide 12 basically summarizes what I have spoken to already. In terms of the talks that we said, then slide 13. We just show the diagrammatic presentation there to in terms of the target for the first quarter was 72,500. And so, but we are saying we are on track for this financial year for the count of 50,000. In course two, like the figures we are considering now, the 500,000, and we are confident that that will be achieved. I do have the negative figures, but we are very crunching a bit of validation, so it will be released to you as soon as we have validated everything. Access roads, the provincial access roads, it's a key component, and we have set these targets cumulatively for the entire financial year. So the provincial roads program, we should be able to report at least 130,000 work opportunities, and the up to the end of quarter one, we have reported, we have on our database 78,100 work opportunities against the quarter 1,040,000. So we are close to quarter 2,000, but we are confident that we will be able to from the province report or achieve the target of 130,000 for the financial year. So currently we stand at 60% of that target already. Minnesota is reporting 260 for the entire financial year. Currently we're standing in the quarter one, 204 ministers are reporting already, and we are obviously we do have in place our engagements with the different ministries to ensure that they come into the fold. As a matter of interest, Chair and Honourable Member, at the end of this month we will be having our annual municipal summit again, and there we will be talking to all the municipalities once again to ensure that they honour commitments that they've made through the protocols that have been signed last year, and so we are confident that they will be getting into the fold soon. The National Youth Service, this is the one area where we have to report there was an underperformance with regard to the, for the entire year the target had been set at 3,500, and if you look at the cumulative targets that we present here, we at the end of quarter one should have been 1,200 participants in the program. Currently we stand at 660,000, and as you can see in the first slide 20, what they are reporting there, will be saying the delay or the underperformance due to the delay in awarding infrastructure projects, because these new people there to they undergo theoretical training, and then they have to be exposed to practical training on actual projects. But if these infrastructure projects have, if they break off, obviously it delays the number of youth that we can draw into the program. But we are engaging with projects to ensure that, to make sure these projects are awarded on time. And that. So that's the part of the EPWP presentation. The following three slides, it speaks to the department's infrastructure budget, and you will have to guide me here with whether my colleague can present the
Good morning.
will be presenting on the infrastructure adjustment made during the adjustment period. In terms of the presentation, the first column shows the original allocation of 1.4 billion at the beginning of the financial year. And the second column, it shows the reduced budget after the reprioritization. So under the reduced budget, it involves the money that has been surrendered to National Treasury and the amount that has been reprioritized to other projects within the department. Under the difference, it shows the total amount that was reduced. You have 1.4 billion?
No. As you said, the English year, 2012 has been taken away.
Yes.
But the 3485 has been reduced within. Yes. The total now includes the one that you say is within.
Yes.
Just go slowly so that we can also understand what you are saying.
The original budget was 1.4 billion.
Yeah.
And the revised budget is now 999. So that means in overall, 485 million has been reduced from the infrastructure budget.
Oh, which is
212 surrendered to National Treasury and 273 reprioritized within other programs in the department. So, of the money surrendered to National Treasury that has been cleared as savings, it's 102 million for land plot entry and land plot of entry. The BCMC budget.
And
both.
Both
of
those.
And the second one is 110 million, which was allocated specifically for home affairs. On the next slide, it explains the reprioritization of 375 million and 110 million. The fund has been identified against various programs which will not be spent during the 2012-13 financial year. This is due to the current capacity problems faced by the department as well as projects not spending as expected. It is in the best interest of the department to reprioritize funding to build capacity and resources to effectively implement the turnaround strategy. You also have 110 million which was ring-fenced. Capital infrastructure projects were not identified and agreed to in time to spend funds before the end of the financial year. This amount is ring-fenced and cannot be reprioritized but will be surrendered to National Treasury.
The original allocation was 1.4 billion. Yes. Not trying to, yeah. And then we got a revised allocation of 999 million, of which 485 million was taken away. I think that's what he's trying to explain. And also, I just want to explain, normally in this capital budget, this is public works capital budget, we normally get an allocation for the land port of entry, and which is in simple language, border post, allocation for border post. And for this current financial year, Treasury gave us 110 million. Which was referred exclusively allocated for home affairs instead of being lumped as part of the budget, of the capital budget for public works. And we've written to Treasury because the challenges that we're facing in the department around planning and execution of projects, which is related. We requested that the capital budget that we foresee with Treasury that we are not going to spend, but we needed money to be able to fund the turnaround projects in the department. One of them, that is BELTI, is the rebuilding of professional services within public works. Public works is a shortage of engineers, architects, construction managers, project managers. So when we talk about the turnaround, we are saying therefore that we want to present to say, given the fact that we are not going to be able to spend the money, why don't you then reallocate some of this budget so that we are able to advertise and start looking at strategies of insourcing capacity from outside to be able to deliver projects for our clients. I just wanted to explain that question quickly.
That PG, thank you for that, but just to conclude your explanation, it says 2012 million is a declared saving. It clears by that. But it doesn't say to us the 273, reprioritized 273. I don't know if other people understand, but for me, I thought that there were 485. Include the 273, which we must understand that what is meant by this reprioritization. Is it taken somewhere else outside the department or what? Because the budget now has been reduced now to 999 million, which means that 273 is no longer part of the, no longer in the department. So I'm saying, let's get the beer. About this 273.
273 is rental from the infrastructure.
What if you leave prioritize the two old? Where is the money gone? That's the simple question. Where is the 273 challenge gone? What is the supply?
Yes.
The question is this man 23 still within the department, or it has been, when you say reprioritized, sent somewhere? Because if it is still within the department, it may mean that there's something your sums might be wrong here.
What you are doing here, infrastructure is one line in terms of the allocations. The allocation for infrastructure, which is the capital project, it was 1.4 billion. Now, the infrastructure has been reduced to 999, with 212 being taken back to National Treasury, and 223 being allocated to other projects for turnaround. The money has been moved to the other than infrastructure.
Sorry, Chair, but it's important for us because basically that 273 million is a capital item and we want to know where was it moved to and what is it being used for, because the PMA is specific about not being able to move capital to to other projects which are not our capital measure.
Yes. It should be easy for us to understand if the department can tell us exactly where have they used the money. We hear that it's within the department, but exactly where?
September. You're welcome. You made that already yourself on the question.
You know, of course, that if you have it in a computer, the rest of the money went, it will be easier.
I'm sorry. Come on, Honorable Mpulo?
Yeah, I'm just going to find out the time for question, because I always have good questions. Should I?
No.
Clarity. Okay. Thank you.
Let me ask you two dishes so that we can go home. Yeah? On this, what you call on the adjustment, ENE, adjustment, ANE, the total that is reflected there is 282, not 273. I'm just trying to assist you so that we can make progress. Mr. Tembo, I would like you to help them, if possible, to assist with this, so that we would like to move, you know.
To give you the list where the money went, and then we can give you the issue of the capital budget. Treasury here has given us permission to use it for turnaround projects.
Thanks very much. I take it you want first a breakdown of the 273 million, right? Okay. Yes, I do have numbers here, and I will announce them, and they should add up to 273 million. There is 30 million rand that has been shifted from the capital budget, right, to goods and services, right? And that 30 million is broken down as 20 million rand for the property management trading entity, commercial building and accounting software, 50 million rand for the compilation of the immovable assets register. So that's the 50 million rand. Then the next amount is 50.8.
Maybe that detail is not going to ask this.
Okay.
I think the question that was raised was that the 23 million rand has been reprioritized. Is it prioritized from program 2 to program 1 to program 5? What to what? But if it is broken down to a number of programs, that's what we'd like to hear. But if you can say just at a high level, 50 million went to program 3, we don't mind what the other 2 cents did and the 1 cent did.
Yeah.
Where do they analyze the other? Do they do it?
Okay. So there are certain things that within the law we are allowed to do, and there are certain things that only Parliament may allow. Now, we have allowed that money be used for current payments, money that is coming from the capital budget, using Section 5.1b of the 2012 Appropriation Act. Right? And the act, this section says that the National Treasury may, in order to expedite service delivery, approve the utilization of the saving in an amount appropriated for payment of capital assets, if the expenditure is to be utilized in the same board for other categories of expenditure other than for the compensation of the employees.
Okay, Mr. Temple. So what you are reading is the regulation?
Yes, it's the Act, yeah. The section of the Act, the Appropriation Act 2012, Section 5.1b.
Yes, but Section 43.4 of the TFMA says this section does not authorize the utilization of a saving in C, an amount appropriated for capital expenditure in order to defray the current expenditure.
Yes.
Jefferson, I think when we talk about, I can see where he's reading from. He's reading B. But now the question is, they talk about saving. And the challenge comes with treasury. Treasury, when you understand, they call it saving. And yesterday I also asked to say, can you just clarify in terms of treasury what is saving? Because you can't say a person who's underspent on something, you call it a saving. You did not say you've not spent on it. So now here he's talking about saving. Which saving do they have? Because that is the question that you're asking. They did not spend that money. It's underspending. You can't call it saving. Maybe there needs to be a clarity in terms of saving. Because point B is talking about saving, not underspending. But they did not use the money. It's underspending.
I think we have a clear question which you are asking the department. That one really is a story with us, but we'd like clarity on this 273 first, and then the basis used, bearing in mind what was just read out from the PSLB. Let's clarify that one, and then we'll come to this issue of savings and underspending. But the main issue here is this reprioritization of theirs. Where is it? Have they given permission to public works to contravene this act? Thank you.
Honourable members, if I hear what Mr. Tembo is saying, he's saying to us, Parliament passed the appropriation bill at the beginning of the year. And clause 5 of that appropriation bill was giving Treasury the power, this power, to do this. And if you remember those who were there, we raised this, what you call it, we flagged this thing at the beginning, that will allow it to pass, though it's catching up with us now, but we must have a discussion with the National Treasury about these contradictions. So, but Honorable... Honorable Masifo is yourself, or Honorable Matagana, without saying anything.
If we pass it warning that we don't want it to be misused, and if it's going to be like that, we're going to pass another bill in February. And if we are going to be always misconstrued, we'll make each other truly know how we feel about the clause.
because he actually did not want it. We complained about it. They knew that they were going to use it against us as we passed it, and we passed it near the general. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, this is my problem with, you know, this is why I call it, you know, there's a problem with the budgeting, because within the first 2 months of the financial year, after the budget's been approved, we suddenly find 212 million that we're not going to spend. We call it a saving, and really suddenly allowed in terms of the act, they think they can now just change it. And we've had in the last few days, we've had many cases like that. And they say there's a full in the Treasury can do. What is the purpose of Parliament approving it? Are we rubber stamps? You know, is this what we do as Appropriations Committee? We rubber stamping, but Treasury do. And it's not acceptable, Chair. And it's something that we really need to work on. It's not the department's fault, but it's Treasury's fault, and they should be looking at this.
No, thank you,
Honourable
Chair. I want to align myself with the previous speakers. The major problem where we have this problem creeping in is PMA itself. Because the Public Finance Management Act gives the Treasury the right to make a full decision. It basically carte blanche powers to say you can direct otherwise irrespective of what happens. You have the power to direct otherwise. So the real problem that you have here is the power in terms of this PMFA. Even if you read the very first one, the 43.1, it has a rider. Immediately under that paragraph, it tells you what to do, but it doesn't say no unless Treasury directs otherwise. It confers powers into Treasury, including the power that Parliament thinks they have.
Yeah.
That's the we have power. We actually don't have power in terms of this Financial Management Act. So they can take money from the even though they say capital expense cannot be, but they can make a decision that is contrary to that because the law, the book says to them, unless they decide. The same, yeah. So you see, when the department says, Treasury has given us the right to do it, that's why you do it, ask them. Yeah. Then the Section 5 of the Act is tailor-made to fit in line with the Public Finance Management Act. So the reality of the situation is that what you think we have the powers to do, we don't quite have them. We actually give them to Treasury based on the act that we have right now. So I think, let's cut into the chase. So what you need to do actually is to cut the Treasury power.
Yes.
This one is vague in the legislation. Is what it is giving the card lunch. That's why they can change, they can adjust more than 8%. Because the Treasury has the right to do the environment more than 8%, even though the Public Finance Management says, no, they can't. As long as the Treasury signs the letter, that's it. It goes with law. So I think, Chair, what we're doing here, we are battling, we are giving them more power. We're giving Treasury this power in terms of this act. So let's change it. And there was a process 2 years ago that they review that we need to amend the Public Finance Management Act. That thing has been stalled, is in shape, is being put into the suspension. You're not going to hear it because of this. So I think the problem is here that we need to do a Parliament. Now, if we are the committee that passes the budget, which means we pass the Act, that's the act of the that we're talking about. We have to put brakes, we have to hit the brakes onto it. And so this can't happen in this way.
Honorable Mfulo, your comment so that we can make progress on this one.
Chairperson, I also want to add to what Honorable Amatakana said. To say, in terms of savings, because I pick up that is a norm, that people are underspending and then it's called savings. it needs to be clear that the saving is going to be a saving and underspend should be an underspending. So that there should not people be saying, the department president said we've saved, now we can use that money. It should also come somewhere, it must be clarified. It must come on to say, well, you've underspent, it's not a saving. Because when I look at it, how even whatever the law, the act is saying, the act is talking about saving. It does not talk about underspending. Now, who says to treasury that they are underspending, they should classify it as saving? That's my question. Because in the act, it's talking about saving. It does not talk about underspending. Now, who says underspending is classified as saving? So they have their own interpretation in terms of the law. And that's where the interpretation is wrong.
I think you're right, Honourable Members, but I just want us to, Honourable Mofolo, you're raising a broader question, Kedela, you can ask the Honourable Members. Yeah. Honourable Mofolo, I'm saying you're raising a broader question. Honourable Mofolo is assisting us. He's saying, let's just narrow our discussion to the 273, to and to this power that Treasury has taken upon themselves. They are saying to us, in terms of the appropriation bill, those five of the appropriation bill, we gave Treasury those powers. We say it's fine, correct, but we fled it. If you look at our report, we did fled this. Even in our, what you call, presentation in the House in the past few days, Honourable Mofolo, remember we've been talking about, maybe we've been nice saying, talking about terminology, but other people were more upfront about the savings versus the understanding. It's fine. But I think that only 212 declared one. Government has decided on it as a saving, general what we call a saving. But I think that the issue is not figures, Mr. Timothy. The issue is not the figures. The issue is the principle. I think that's what we call it, the House is about. But what I would like to say, Honourable Members, let's just, we have fled it. Thank you for saying it. We have fled it. It will go into our recommendation. But it's clear that every day, this workshop that we want to have with Treasury, it becomes more what you call the agent by the day, you know, so that we can have one what you call understanding. I'll finish in September, but let me just start with Honourable.
I think the sooner we have our own workshop, our own before Treasury, to deal with this matter better. Because really, we are there. And even the tip that has been given by Parliament, you know, it's no longer tip, it's false tip. You know, we don't have them. And everything happens in front of our eyes, as you're saying. I think that when you start by saying nice, you have to start by yourself, you know. We tell you that you know that we are nice. And this committee, they don't see it. Nobody knows about what the work of this committee. Now, I think sooner we do it the better, citizens. And we use the power that we have. Despite the fact that we don't have the budget officer, what we have in the Constitution, we must have put our office down. Now, the question of, I think the department must explain to us in this saving. This saving, because the department, before they are allocated money by Treasury, they have a set plan. And they tell Treasury that they are going to, and portfolio committee, that they are going to use this money for its purpose. Now, if I'm going to approve the money, now they have priorities within the department. How do you know that they're going to use this money when they could not use what they have budgeted for before? What is the term, saving? We don't really like that term saving in this committee. Because you know that there's no such thing like saving. This is understanding, and this is what we're dealing with. Now,
How are we going to be sure that the money that 273,000 are going to use it when they could not use the rest?
Yes.
Why they could not use it? Because if we don't know, then they will come back tomorrow and then again the so-called savings and so-called savings. Why could they not use the money? They must tell us. What are the challenges? Why? In this program, why? So that when they tell us why, they will tell us how now have they what is this turn around? This turn around, we hear each other in all these departments. When they can't do anything, they'll tell you that they're coming up to turn around. And they are turning forever. They are turning forever. So please, we must know that.
We use this section, section 5 of the 2012 Appropriation Act with a lot of care. There is a turnaround in public works. The turnaround needs funding. The turnaround was not budgeted for. Right? We all want the department to function better. And that required funding. The only funding that was available in the department was in the capital budget. So it's really because there was...
You can use Honorable Kiyenge's words. She says, in realization that you are not going to spend. Anyway, the PTP says in her, what is called a name input, that when you take money away, you see that we can't. We're not going to spend anyway. And that's what the PTP says from the beginning. So.
And then, whatever it is that the Treasury approves, it is subservient to the decision of Parliament. It can only become effective if you say, let it go ahead. Otherwise, it would have fallen. even in using this section 5, there are elements that have to do with compensation of employees. And we have said to Public Works, these aspects can only be approved by Parliament. We don't have the power to approve those elements.
I'm not impressed by what you're saying. Because they decide which ones they can do without us. And when it suits them, these ones can be done by Parliament. Really, we are not impressed. Because if you were really taking Parliament into consideration, knowing that we had a problem with that clause, you should have given us an opportunity before you can approve. If you were really making us serious. The fact that you know that was toothless, then it makes you to just do things as you see it fit to you. But it won't be long. It won't be long. I'm promising you. Why it was only whenever this department comes, you say you have approved it from the savings. I don't know what to say this from Treasure. You allocate money to them to raise it. So the options or programs that they have given to you. And when they don't use that amount, you wear your white glove, you turn it, saving, and you say they must just turn around, you know, turn around. Well, I'm really not impressed, because this is the responsibility that has been entrusted by Parliament. Like you guys, everybody has these own responsibilities, and we have ours. And I think that we are unable to do it. Because we should in and leave us behind, and then in front of the department, all the time, we get surprised. Now that you want to fight the process, you are thinking of some creatures, at least that is how to say, you know, this is what we have done, or this is what we are planning to do. You know, don't do that. You're not necessarily on time that you know that you are not going to agree. You just stay away.
Jefferson, thanks. I think... Jefferson, that's my proposal. I think today we are busy with public works. we have this meeting with pressure, and I think that's very important after we have discussion. But I don't think it will be off. We will not make progress. We can sit down with pressure and all this thing. But I think we will not make progress here. So my view, I think we must continue with public works. And I think what comes out here is very serious, and we have to discuss it with pressure. And I agree with the comments before. Thank you.
Now, I think you're quite right, but I think that what members are saying is to claim the right of parliament. I think that's what is ringing here across. But if National Treasury Section was to call 43.2 say the amount of a thing under a main division of a vote that may be utilized in terms of subsection 1 may not exceed 8% of amount appropriated under that. Now, it's broken down. Don't know how much was it. But I'm saying that I think that we have left it. We must find a way. If I may, that's what you call a comment now, all of members. I think that we succeeded. The division of revenue, section 15 of the current division of revenue, says, for instance, if there are going to be changes in budget, Parliament must be consulted. I think that's what the current members are saying. And if that adds, it means that it must bring across all the appropriation bills on everyone, so that Parliament doesn't feel that, no, we just rather stand in, Treasury will do it, this consultation with Parliament, just means that Parliament must rather stand it, you know. And there I find even a scientific, scientist, straightforward, reporting the law. With the permission of our members, let's get to other questions.
Tell us what made them not be able to use the money. How to stop them that they be able to use the money? This so-called priority in the meeting department, how are we sure?
Are there other questions?
Yes.
Honourable members? Honourable Masarana? Honourable Fulo? Honourable Sa? Honourable Sikho?
No, thank you. On the reprioritization column, I know that the Treasury rattled down amounts which we don't have. We don't have that page. I know that the DG there was struggling to tell us exactly where this money is going to. So I think we would perhaps have to have that page so we can see it for ourselves, even though we've had the problem of it. Now, I want to understand the... because there is a figure of 50 million that speaks to kind of asset register. Think ahead with asset register that is been allocated. Now, I don't know DGs could explain this and the Treasury could explain this. Year after year, literally, there is money for asset register to do this, but it's never complete. It's as old as the new democracy, the issue of asset register. Now, I just wanted to find out from you, this 50 million, is it now for the completion of this asset register?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it going to continually be the moving target of it? But, I mean, if you look at the first 6 months, you in terms of the performance, you see that there's a zero achievement in terms of that particular asset management issue, nothing. But there is, of course, money allocated to it. I just want to find out from the department. If you look at page 45 and you look at the media performance status there, you see that very clearly.
Yes.
So number two, Chair, if I can continue, just to find that out. Is it in terms of the target set for expanded public works program, including the municipality, what municipality needs to achieve, isn't it that a target that is set low?
The question is first, and then you can recall it and copy.
I'll finish now. So I was saying, in terms of there was a slide there that showed the, in the blue, it says the target, but what is achieved is more than the target. So I was asking, when I was reading the slide, was it the relevant low target, setting of a low target? Because I don't understand the, if you say that was a target and you say, so there's something that it's just not sitting well with me. The last one, this one is a really frustrating question for me. I don't know how we're going to measure. And it's an important program, this job creation program. There's a lot of money put into it. I know there was a slide put into there and there was an explanation there by the old hand on this. But I just think, Chair, somehow we need to get a clarity how we're going to. I don't get, with respect, a measurable objective of job opportunity. Frankly, I don't know what it is. You can't measure it. It's there as a target. Now, for me, in order to keep, to make sure that there is an oversight and make sure that there's a delivery, I need to know, the department need to make this simple. What is the measurability of the opportunity that is set out? Because I find it to be really just elastic type of a term that is used to obfuscate, I mean to cover up some of the of failure to delivery. So those are the three questions, and that one for me. Look at it, read it. It's read job opportunities, and if you look at what is the, what, how do you measure it in order to understand that it's two jobs, two, a man and a woman has been employed, are unable to measure it. I can't measure it. I don't know how they measure it. That's one for me. That's, I think if we have to make sure that this project delivers that. And I kept reading this book and I kept asking myself, how do I know what is a job opportunity? How do I know if a person has come and pick up a paper, a newspaper in the desk for 2 or 1 hour and that's contained as a job opportunity? Or if it's a real thing. And I don't have a sense. And I have to
thank you, Chaplain. Already some of the questions were honorable Yamaka. Yeah, I'm going to be short, Chaplain. All I want to know, in terms of Program 1 administration, they talk about the implementation of a turnaround program. Now, that turnaround program, what is it? Does it have outcomes? I'll have to see the outcomes and the time frames of that turnaround program. And also when I look at, you know, what the mid-year performance data, they supposed to have said, they said they are going to be, at this moment they've got only 32 buildings that need to be accessible for people with disability, and their target was 100. Already we are on the 7th month. The other one is to say, I don't understand. Program 2, they said they used the money to, took the money to the goods and services for specifically for outsourced staff, travel and substance and technical support for the special investigation unit. Now I'm getting confused there. Is it their role in terms of that they must subsidize the special investigation unit? I can also see that again in program 2, they shifted the money for the bridging finance for the Independent Development Trust. So, in terms of development and shift, when I look at what is that. So I just want to understand today, at the time, 7 months, they did not yet achieve what they say they wanted to achieve. Are they going to be able to do that what they say they want to do? Because for me it's a serious, serious challenge about that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. You know, if I remember correctly, you know, it's nice to say yes, we've reached our targets of the number of jobs created. But I don't know. I think at one stage we, as a committee, asked that the department makes sure that the transfer for EPWP to other entities, you know, are paid up in advance so that they can actually do something with the money. And I want to know whether the money is in fact fully inclusive of the transfers that we've asked. You know, it's good to say for the department, yeah, we've achieved our target, but what has happened to the rest? Because as far as I know, we haven't spent all the money. And then, Chair, on Program 5, Auxiliary and Associated Services, I'm not exactly sure what it entails, but I seem to already have spent for the first 6 months 109.4%. And I want to know, and there was an adjusted appropriation, which is 38 million, you know, where, and they've spent 42 million, where are they going to get the rest for, you know, for the balance of the year? Where is that going to come from? And then, just Chair, there was Program 5, Auxiliary and Associated Services, the last one on that list. You'll see it's 109.4% spent. And then, Chair, there was a media report this morning about some 1.4 billion rand that's been spent on houses for ministers. I don't know whether it's so or not, but where is that money? Because, you know, if it's true, it should surely be prestige projects, including special and major items. Is it in there, and is, you know, are the reports incorrect, or where is that money, you know, that is being spent on the projects for the ministerial houses, the 1.4 billion which just mentioned? Thank you, Chair.
Give us some advice on Program 2, and that is dual asset management. I see there's saving, as a result of underspending on infrastructure projects of 212 and ahead of you already. But my question is, also that you can have a list of where the saving, where the underspending, what projects.
I will start again. It's about 212 million savings on program 2. Now they indicate it's underspending on infrastructure projects. Can they indicate to us on what infrastructure projects they indicate their underspending was worth? Okay. Yeah, I wish that you up to 12 million. Is part of this thing. Okay. So I've got it.
Thank you, Chairperson. The issue of this infrastructure issues, especially comes to municipalities and expanded public works program, because someone, I think Mr. Swart referred to it, Honorable Swart referred to it, because we are aware of the problems that they give us about the fact that there is no money, they have to wait for money. But at one stage we agreed that this space made us aware that Treasury and Public Works
should give money upfront so that we shouldn't experience this problem for, say, some municipalities did not report other sex report that. So we'd like to know whether this revised model is also still applicable because of the outstanding municipalities they did not report because they were not transferred from treasury. Because 2 weeks ago, Mr. Brown reported that there was denied transfer because of municipalities not submitting some reports or not requesting the money, some to them. So if this money is given up front, why should we still be facing problems of EPWP in the municipalities? And again, Honorable Chair, we would like to know which they say that the annual target for the number of municipalities working on EPWP is that, but we will be happy to get the breakdown of provinces which do not comply with whatever they ask. It is because of non-compliance of the municipalities or the fact that something is not done right from National Treasury as per our agreement when we agreed that we don't want this problem anymore. This problem anymore, because this problem is very important in procreation. So we just want to know what is wrong, what is still wrong, because we really addressed it many times, this problem. And this land port of entry issue, what is really there that makes the department declare? Because we know of our problems at the port of entry. What makes it not be able to then at least the right infrastructure so that we go back and say here is the money, can use it, because it's quite a lot of money to declare, and when we know that the conditions at our port of entry, and when we know that Home Affairs is really trying hard to, and I think it is, if we are discussing with our department, then we're able to use it, because we know all about African laws, worried about port of entry, and if money at our port of entry is declared, there must be a problem somewhere. So we'll be happy to understand about it. And the reprioritizing and the reasons given are really not satisfactory, because if the reasons are capacity in the department, wherever the money is being reprioritized to, there is the same reasons, lack of capacity, lack of spending and whatever reasons that was used to that money will still be found in whatever department you are transferring it to. Thank you.
I'll be short. On page 16, maybe they don't have that information, they could probably provide it in a later stage. There is something that's called the access roles and job-related targets that are set, a target achieved. There is a, particularly the interest one is 78,000 job opportunity through this. If they could give us just the information, forget about the statistics now. Where is this job being created? In terms of the employment, how long was that job opportunity? How long did these people work in this project? And what is the skill that has been imparted to those that were employed in the access road? That they can give us some breakdown. And which either provincial, at which provinces have and which provinces have not. Where concentration lay.
Yes, thank you very much, members. But just before you digital from this side of the table is the one is the issue of EPWP. You know, to ask, I'm sure everybody has touched on it, because we think that it's important. The president, in his first State of the Nation address in 2009, said 5 million jobs will be created around this program over the 5 years. And unfortunately, I must say to my friend, Mr. Henderson, you know, I don't want the department, you know, to tell the president something that embarrasses the president tomorrow. You say, president, no, we are on target as far as this is concerned. But we are on year four. You're not saying that you are on year four now, no? But you're talking about 50%, but you're talking, I mean, the expenditure, if you look at the report, it's around 50% of that total target. But you say, no, we are on track. I think that it's wrong. You know, you can bring back that, what we call, that slide. You can bring back that slide. You know, I think it's wrong. Not this one. The other one that is clearer. Not this one, you know. Not this one. Yeah. On this one. And we are on 50.5%. But this is year four. The other slide reflects that we are on year four. And we think that we are on target when it is like that. I think that we must tell it as it is. So. Because at the end of the day, the president is made there to say, no, we're a target. And people can see that these things are not true. I don't think that it should work like that. You know, this issue of the target, the issue of the target, the Parliament passes budget. Let me repeat myself, you know. But Parliament passes budget beginning of the year, because the departments come to Parliament and say, this year, in terms of annual performance plan, we're going to do 1, 2, 3. And then we accept, and this is how we're going to do it, these things. Now, during the year, department says, no, we didn't mean what we said, beginning of the year, and changes the tune. There's a reprioritization now. Yes. Now there's no reprioritization. Now, exactly, I want to see the question that Honorable Yengeni has raised around this issue of capacity, you know, or turnaround service. But the thing is, and I think that we're going to raise it in September in the what you call in the new appropriation bill. That the national departments themselves, you know, the giving of revenue requires that the provinces, any department in the province or in the municipality that is responsible for infrastructure is going to do a project. It's required to start reporting from June of the previous year, so that the plans by December, January, they are ready there. But that's not a requirement for national departments. But there's a lot of understanding in national departments. National departments end up reprioritizing these monies from infrastructure, because that clause does not exist in the appropriation bill. That is the clause that we want. So that we know, each department will know upfront what project is the department going to do, what is their state of readiness to deliver on that project. Because now, this, what we are passing now, you know, people, there are no plans. Only during the year, start planning and say, no, we have noticed that we're not going to spend this one. Why? Because there's no planning, there's no provision for planning. Maybe it is very theoretical, but we want it in law. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks for the question, Honorable Members. I just want to say before I answer some of your questions that maybe it would be helpful if you come before this committee and present this turnaround program. What it is, what it entails, what are the projects, what do we need to achieve. The issue of challenges that has been raised by Honorable Member Yengeni, I think they've been addressed by this turnaround intervention. The lack of capacity in public works. There's been over the years an erosion of the professional services function. And public works, for public works to function, it needs engineers, it needs construction managers, it needs architects, it needs quality surveyors. The country itself, in terms of the throughput, is struggling to actually achieve the number of engineers that we want. But those that we want, honorable members, you find them mostly in the private sector and abroad. So what we are trying to do now, we are trying to rebuild the internal capacity of public works to be able to deliver projects. Because if you do not have that type of professional services functioning inside the department, it is we are going to have continuously this problem of underbending. That's why the information needs to come up with a turnaround program. And that's why Treasury, we approached Treasury for funding because we did not have the allocation in terms of the compensation of employees' budget to be able to advertise 200 posts that we need in turnaround. And to be able to pay those people who come in the department from the compensation budget as we did not have sufficient funding. So with the operation short of the year, it would be good to have such a session with the colleagues. Obviously, when you don't have the professional services, you also be found wanting in terms of planning the projects and also the whole chain of monitoring and ensuring that projects are delivered on time. The list of projects that I just read out for you under this, for that has been followed by this 273 million. Is the to IDT. The IDT required money. The IDT of the entity reporting to public works requested that they be funded by Treasury. And they were funded last year, but Treasury gave us an allocation for the IDT under the after we want to use this term saving. So we had to get money to the IDT. We had to get money to buy a billing and accounting IT system. Because remember the public works has two financial statements, the public works budget and the property management trading entity. We also had to go and ask for funding Treasury in terms of compensation of employees because we started this year with a shortfall. We had overspent on that item. And I know that maybe you say, but how do you overspend when you don't have the capacity? These are really the challenges that we are trying to deal with under the turnaround. Because we could not go and say, we need 10 engineers come in, because we didn't have the money to pay these 10 engineers. And then the other money chapter is for the audit and review. And I think the honorable members would recall that there's a challenge in terms of public work management in Italy. It is a portfolio, so we had to undertake a lead audit project so that we can fix our management challenges at least once and for all. We also had to ask Treasury a chapter to provide more money to the SIU. The SIU is great in projects and the acknowledgement in government that there's a slowness in terms of, it became clear that the SIU does not have sufficient capacity. And then the fact that the president has signed the proclamation for the SIU to come into public works and conduct all these investigations that many of you may probably have read in the media. So we had to assist and ask Treasury to fund the SIU. But obviously that money will go to the Department of Justice, and I wish as the SIU falls, but it is money that has been requested by Public Works. Person that's just a snippet of where the money has gone, and also lastly the EPWP. Back to the one honourable member asked about the auxiliary services, but we're overspent there, and that is true, Chaplain. And the reason for that understanding, we have to pay for the amongst other things. In fact, under that program, we assist the president with all the presidential functions and also funerals of cabinet ministers and MPs that passed on. So, state funeral purposes. So it's a presidential determination. And they understand because of the funeral of Mrs. Sisulu, Honorable Patayashi and Sisulu Shikwela. They declared presidential state funeral, so we had to spend on that. And also, Chairperson and Honorable Mwazi, recall that we also got a new deputy minister, and we had to approach us and to provide us with money to be able to address the needs of the deputy minister. So there are some of the reasons, honourable member, that has made us overspend on that budget. I think we have agreed that maybe because in terms of the presentation we did not bring a detailed breakdown of the budget. I just want to say that let's give that, like I requested earlier, that we do the 6 month presentation of the budget and we get into the details of the budget. But obviously some of the issues you have already raised, because the media at times just say things that at times are really surprising where they get these figures. But we'll be able to account properly on what we're spending in ministerial houses. But I don't want us to be dealing with these issues outside the proper full briefing of the budget, so that we go step by step and by step with you. On the number of the removal of the asset register, the Honourable Member Matlakane rightfully questioned this removal of asset register. It is for that same reason that we have upscaled the intervention of ensuring that we have a proper asset register on the number, at least in terms of the determination we agreed on with the accountant general, its completeness, its accuracy, and what informed all of that. We have a memorandum that we can forward to the trust to the honorable member so that you can see what it is that we agreed upon in terms of the accountant general around the issue of the completeness and accuracy of the asset register. But I want to say this. It's also one of the critical intervention programs under the turnaround. The minister is speaking in Mpumalanga meeting with the NEC Public Works, and on the same day in Gauteng meeting with the NEC Infrastructure. Last week he was in Durban. Because the Irrevocable Asset Register is not a project or a program exclusively owned by Public Works. It is an intergovernmental responsibility. For example, the issue of the thing, what we have been discussing in our MINMEC is provinces lagging behind in terms of the thing. Because when it comes to that responsibility of the thing, it is easy for them because public has appropriated this responsibility together with rural development. upon themselves to actually assist the other spheres of government to be able to vest properly the immovable state properties under their responsibility. But what we have uncovered because of this intervention around the immovable asset register checking, and I want to disclose a fund that we are being assisted by NSNM to be able to come up with this accurate immovable asset register. We have discovered that some provinces are not accelerating the vesting process because at the end of the day, they are not being held accountable, at least that's what we think in Parliament and in other spheres to come and account why provinces would have immovable assets that they cannot account for. So the whole vesting project, it belongs to the department, it is owned, the custodian is the Department of Rural Development. But we must all remember that Public Works is the custodian of all immovable assets of the state. Those that we know and probably those that we may not probably will still be looking for in the next coming years. And anything else that any department says it does not belong to me, Public Works has to take care and responsibility for those immovable assets. Now, this is an intergovernmental responsibility. It's a complicated process. There are challenges of capacity also in the other spheres of government, but we have taken the lead to work with these other spheres to be able to deliver on this critical issue. May I also emphasize that, honorable members, that this is, we're dealing here with an issue that we're not taking lightly. This is the worst state of the nation. And I also know that you are right to be saying why we're still grappling with this 18 years into this democracy. We have made the public at least an admission that this project has dragged on, but now we have said we need so many resources to be able to deal with the completeness and accuracy of this asset register. I'll ask Stanley to talk to the intergovernmental question, and I'll come in later for the other questions that you may not
I want them to talk to. Okay. In respect to this other institution that is assisting them, is it the service provider that was announced that will be assisting? And how long has it been assisting?
The project chapter started an honorable members last year in October. But here, you remember that probably you need to come in and do a presentation on this issue on its own. It's a huge issue. You're talking here about immovable state of properties that's supposed to be vested at local government level, at provincial government level, at national government level. But the service provider started last year in October. At least to the extent of what we have agreed on with the accountant general in terms of the base minimum honorable member, the target is 2014.
Can we maybe agree that we should have a discussion on this particular aspect? Now, my other question that was not answered, I ask, is this now once off, is this 50 million allocation means we're going to complete this job? Now you're talking about 2014. I don't know whether 2014 is when you're going to anticipate to complete the asset register and what is the financial implication of that? Are you going to, so that means there's a rolling funding on that particular project. Now, I'm saying that because, and I want to say it is not the first time that the public or service provider is appointed to drive the asset register of state. It's not the first time. There has been a couple of them appointed. That's why I'm raising this particular question. So it's not a new project. It's an ongoing project that as long as I can remember. That's why I'm this concerned about it. It's a moving target. There's a different service provider that get appointed. They give their fair share of money. They come to the end of the process. They don't complete. Another new public service provider get appointed. again another money is allocated to, as far as I can remember, this is what has been happening in public works. So we need to have that discussion.
Now, I think I agree, Honorable Mashaga, because I don't want to open new questions now, but I'm just worried that if you look at the adopted ENE, I mean, there's a budget for 5 billion. 5 billion, not 5, not 50 million, 5 billion. Now, I don't know the relationship between the 50 million and the 5 billion. I don't know. But let's not, don't worry about that question now. Let's move forward.
And two questions.
Sorry, Honorable Union.
Was they coming to present the turnaround strategy, they will also come with the presentation on this issue as well. Thank you, Charleston. And just lastly from my side, at least for now, is to say the immovable asset ratio, the Honorable members, is very minor. It's a robust project. What I mean by that is, if, for example, we have this parliament, it's in our immovable asset register, and tomorrow we extend parliament with another wing, we have to continuously update the immovable asset register so that it reflects exactly the state of the parliament, how it looks now, and how it looks after its completion. I just wanted to respond quickly to this issue of completeness. The completeness and accuracy that we are talking about is properly defined in terms of the basic minimum requirements that we have agreed with the accountant general. If government tomorrow decides to build a provincial legislature in one of the provinces, for example, the province must enter that into the immovable asset register, so we are adding on. And also if they extend that, they must go back to the asset register and do the current amendment. So it's not necessarily a moving target as Chairperson and Honorable Members, but it's about ensuring that there's continuous proper maintenance of that immovable asset register. Thank you.
So, just before the decision is given over to other members, now let me ask two questions to the clarity. How much did you budget for this state funeral? And if you say you have overspent, how much is that over expenditure on funeral? And then on the question of the deputy minister, what is that will make you to overspend? Because I assume that you will always budget for the deputy minister. Whether the deputy minister is not here, because there is a position of the deputy minister in the department. So if there is a position of the deputy minister in the department, it should be part of your budget. If I don't understand, my question is not clear, explain to me this over expenditure of the deputy minister. How does it come?
Thank you, Honorable Member. It's not necessarily an over expenditure for the deputy minister. You would recall that we didn't have a deputy minister. We had it, but we did not have one. We only had a minister. That position fell away. And the president decided to reintroduce it by appointing one who was in June. And in terms of the other honorable members, it's difficult for us to budget for funerals. And the expenditure towards the funeral, it depends if the president has declared it a category 1, category 2, or category 3. So the expenditure varies according to that determination by the president. So
but the allocation under the auxiliary program, we don't have a huge allocation, hence this term over extended. Because when we are called upon to actually deliver these services, then we have to write to treasury to say, please give us the money because we are going to be spending so much. And also the issue of the category of the funeral does affect the spend on the funeral. But the treasury is supposed to give us back that money to pay us because we would have used it from our own to spend because we can't plan for funerals. But treasury then would have to reimburse us of the of that amount that we will spend on the funeral. And the good thing.
I hear what the issue is trying to explain. I don't understand. I think the explanation is making me more confused than clearing the question. Because if they, you can't talk of over expenditure. We talk of over expenditure when you have exceeded what you have been allocated for that particular program or whatever. Now, you referred to over expenditure on general. If it's over expenditure, I hear that you don't budget or you don't plan, I don't know, but you take from yourself and then claim from treasury. When you take from yourself, where do you get it? Where do you take from? Because if that's your responsibility, it should be part of your budget. And if you're saying we are budgeted 5 million, and then in that 5 million we exceeded by so much, or you are saying, since we are not planning for the funerals, we have taken from ourselves, from where? When you take from yourselves, where are you getting this money? That treasury must reimburse. If you are not planning, why are you not planning if that is the responsibility? That I don't understand. But also the amount for the deputy minister, whether he was there or she or he was there or not there, why should this be your responsibility? Why do you get that money? Because if you did not plan because he's not there, then the treasury should come in immediately. Because they know that you have not budgeted for the deputy minister, and therefore it should not be something that it affects your budget. It should be something that is different, which is the emergency or whatever you call it. And treasury has to give you immediately. So I don't understand. My worry is the usage of over expenditure. Because once you use over expenditure, you are going to have a different understanding in this committee.
Maybe to make this question maybe easier, which is, are you saying to us this money is not necessarily over expenditure? Because if treasury has not what you call a reimbursed you, are you still expecting that treasury within the financial year will reimburse so that you don't have this expenditure that was not planned? But that's one question. But you know that I'm going to die one day. You don't have a contingency in your life because knowing that this is part of your responsibility because you don't budget. I mean, it is difficult to what you call. I would have thought that you have some contingency plan. In case Tembo dies tomorrow, then there's something because it's one of your responsibilities. If it isn't tight, it's well and good. It's tight.
That's what we can roll over. Yes. That's the only roll over that we can help you to do because we understand it. At 2%, I think your comments and the Honorable Member affair will take that into consideration that we had a 15 million budget under this program. That's what we mean by overspending. But I'm happy that Treasury is here so that during this current planning and budgeting process, we request in anticipation of more money under this program so that if it's not spent, at least there is a saving for the fiscal. Thank you.
We must have
if they had 50 million, then how much is over expenditure? How much are they
how much are they expecting from Canada? I just want to overextend it. It's clear that they have overextended, and they have overspent from 50 million up to our.
It's 17 million that we have spent. 17 million.
And where did you get it, madam?
For the goods and services contract.
From?
For the goods and services contract.
Goods
and services. I'm confused. I'm just trying to be nice with it.
Yeah, I know. It's only a nice just.
You know, every beginning, PG says, no, we had a contingency plan of 15 million.
Yeah.
But we have spent now 17 million. Now you ask the PG.
Confused.
Am I confused?
Yeah.
No, it's fine. Can
I? The way they understand it, they had 15 million. And the overexpenditure, because I wanted the amount of overexpenditure. On top of 15 million, they had to use 17 million. So we're still not confused. Yes, and they asked from which budget or program. Then this is goods and services. And then what happened? So the question goes on, but then are you saying on top of 15, it's plus 17, or is it 17 minus 15, which is 2? No, I just want to understand. I want to be clear. Are we saying 15 plus 17, which is going to make what, 32? Or are we saying 17 minus 50, which is going to make the extra 2 million? Which is the right answer? Thank you.
Let's have a discussion around the issue of the budget. The 15 million, so let us probably just again say it's plus minus 15 million, but I also want to trust that. It's not only funeral. For example, the presidency has been asking us to deliver ad hoc events. We have an annual calendar. I need to explain this because I think it's a very sensitive matter, actually, because we have also had to account within our portfolio committee. We have an annual calendar when we know that we are going to deliver national orders, etc., etc. But even during the course of the year, we also get ad hoc requests from the president. And also those ad hoc requests had contributed to the overspending under that. Because we can't say when the president says deliver this process on Friday and say that, well, I guess I cannot say that in an accounting officer that Mr. President, I can't do this because...
No.
Let's help the DG. The if I understand, and I'm a subject for a correction, the honorable member asked, because the answer was 17. So 17 is greater than 15. So the question was, is 2 million on top of that, or is 17 on added onto 15 to make it 32? Now the Director General goes on to other stuff, the orders and stuff. Instead of answering that question, no, is in addition to 15, we had to take 17 more million and add it here, or only 2 million. That's all the questions that I think you're supposed to receive. Is there an answer?
He's talking about the ad hoc function, yeah, by the president. No, I listen to even if I'm moving up and down. Now, for me, I have a problem if the president is asking for ad hoc functions. It's the same thing with the carers. But where do they come from? Because if they don't have a budget for that, and if they know that it's their responsibility, why are they not given the budget? Why are they not budgeting for it? Because you don't know how many ad hoc functions the president is going to ask in a financial year. And therefore, but you know that you will be asking for that. So it means you must have something, competency fund that the chairperson will talk about, nice English, but you should be having a budget. And I am saying that one budget, because you are explaining it, it's one budget that we cannot query when you roll over. Because it doesn't mean that there will be five members of the cabinet who are going to die, or five states, but at least you are covered. That's one clear budget. The question is, why don't you have it? Because when you have it, then we are going to charge you, when you come back, you are going to say there was a funeral out of 50 million or 200 million that you budgeted for funerals and the other functions of the president. The president has so much functions, and they have costed us so much. And then we know we're moving. And then you can go for an over expenditure. Then we know that the budget is for it. But also the over expenditure, if you're taking from other programs, and then you don't spend it's a problem. You know, I think this one is very clear. To Treasury, when we are looking at the door of Treasury on this particular budget, it shouldn't be a problem. It shouldn't be a problem for us as well. If the minister is gone, or the president is asking, and say, the 12 million that we have budgeted as public works, exhausted. Then you can go and knock to treasure. You understand? You see, we are not doing anything difficult, but we are telling you what you should be doing. Instead of taking from other, because for us, you call it a saving. It's not a saving. You are robbing other programs and use it for something else.
In terms of the allocation for state funding, the allocation for the government, government that DG has explained everything, this money covers this, and over and above, funeral covers this. That we have had.
Okay.
But how much was this budget there for? And how much is the over expenditure? We don't want to hear my members say, no, 2 million. Did you say, no, it's 17 million, it's not 2 million. We don't want that. We want to know how much. That's what I'm doing. Budget is 15 million. The expenditure for the end of September, it was 29 million. As the city of the West Indies.
Okay.
The expenditure is 29 million. In that 29 million, it includes 70 million for the funeral. Then the balance is for other things that the DG has indicated.
And then you will be able to
And in terms of the
not be transferred is simply because there were certain provincial departments that did not submit the signed consent agreements. According to the Division Revenue Act, we cannot transfer without a receiving body having signed the consent agreement. And they will give you a full report with regard to the transfer or the movement of funds for municipalities as soon as I speak back to the office. I do not have a figure for the municipalities right here with me, but we can provide to you, give you a press report by Monday. There was another question, Chair, with regard to access roads.
Last year, and it's reflected in the budget at the beginning of the year, that municipalities will get $1 million on upfront. Now, she was asking, whether she's at working, is this over and above that? I can't remember the question or something like that.
What I would like to say is, I've given you the pages for the provincial department. The funding for municipalities is made of the financial year, the first quarter starts in July. What I'm saying is, we will give you a progress report because if movement of funding, 40% for municipalities, because that was the deep incur with the provincial department. I only could update you on the provincial department, but we will provide you with that information by Monday. Report. Then, with regard to the access roads, I do not have the breakdown of the 78,000 non-city work opportunities right here with me, and we will provide you with that information, but there's a full breakdown how the 78,000 that were reported in terms of the provincial roads program, the access roads, we will give you a full provincial breakdown and give you a geographical distribution in terms of where. Those work of the Serrada had occurred, 78,000 that we have reported to you. Then, Chair, you have raised also the question of our reporting in the slide that you see in front of you, whether that's not perhaps misleading. No, we definitely will not mislead Parliament. But if they explain to you, to the best of my ability, what is reported there. if we aggregate the targets there across the different sectors, it comes to 4.9 million. And those targets that we see, it concurs with the earlier slide where we gave you an annual breakdown. So the annual breakdown...
Let me help again. The question was, the president, 2009, instead of national highway service, will create 5 million over this period.
Mm.
Now you have allocated this question, the real number, 4.9, over the 5 years that you will create, am I right? Now, where we are in the year four of three of the implementation, so we are at 50%. Now you say to us, no, we are on track, we'll achieve it. Yeah. So we're saying that when we are on year four, left with 1 year, how do we achieve, how do we come to 100% from 50%?
Thank you, Chair. If I could just go up to, the way the target has been set. You'll notice if you put that slide, the part that was year one, 550,000, year two, year three, year four. And if you look at the outer years, which means the upscaling came actually in years four and five. Therefore, even though it shows focusing, what I'm saying is the majority of work opportunities, according to the planning, was public bodies, is supposed to set in years four and five. And therefore, that's why we say, in terms of the 50%, that's where we are now. But the charges had been set, those were low charges in years 1, 2, and 3, and then the rest upscaled, as we show you in the graph that we have presented earlier also. So we are on track in terms of planning. What that means is that for the outer 2 years, the coming year, year 4 and year 5, there can't be a lot of new programs that have been introduced that will see to the delivery on those targets that we set there for the annual targets. But that's the reason why the 50% is not out of line. It is simply low target years 1 to 3 and then the max upscaling years 4 and 5. And which means it's not a straight line projection. That's why it makes sense.
The reality of my data, it does not need to rocket science, you know, to think that when in year 4 you are at 50%, then that's 1 year time, it will be another 50%. You know, the experience working in this committee ourselves, we gain experience every day of how the department operates. Quarter 3, people are at 50%. Quarter 4, 100%.
How?
And it's not possible that people can spend that money in three quarters of the year. Money that's being thrown away in order to just dump what is it called, the graph on the fourth quarter. That's this much spike, you know? Even here, we're going to have that spike in year 5, you know? They will create the jobs that Honorable Ramatana was referring to. For a person, that would be 1 day for the paper, so that we can add numbers, make numbers. So it's not possible. Let's be honest. It is not possible that you will do this. So to say that we are on track, let's not just what you call, I don't want to use strong words, but we know that it is not possible. I think that if I were you, rather than being comfortable that, no, we are on track, I would be serious, you know, saying, how do we ensure that we achieve this? That's what we should be working towards. Not saying that, we are on track. We know we are not.
We can assure you, we do not take this lightly. And the department, definitely, the way that has been planned and the way that they have engaged with front bodies, this is what they have committed, and we will give you honest proofs against them. The figures up to now that you've seen there, that is up to the first quarter of year 4, which means they are currently, and I do have the course 2 figures that have been reported, the draft figures given to me, but they are still doing some validation rules running, that's why I don't want to divulge that. So we will definitely give you clear progress, and I can assure you we do not take a slight and be engaged seriously with front bodies to deliver on the targets they have committed, and that's why they have signed incentive agreements and protocols, and those they are accountable to them.
Jefferson, since the report that is going to come next, the central ministry, I would like to see, because it's that they say the 4 year pro, 5 year program, I would love to see you to say, in terms of sustainability of those jobs, because one experience that I've got, I've seen it in the municipality, they apply for the funds for public work, and the people come and work only for 3 months, and the rest of the month there's no more work. So I just wanted to find out, to say, for 5 years, were those projects, those people, the same people in the 5 years, or was it different pieces like the experience that I've got? They can also just outline that kind of information that I need. Thank you. To make sure that for sure that our jobs and that our sustainable jobs. Thank you. Not just for the sake of jobs. Thank you.
I'm just about some questions.
Okay.
Maybe that in future what we probably need to do, depending on what we're going to get as the information of a concentration of job creation, we're probably going to go as a committee out of this building. And actually go and talk to very concentrated people in the area where we get information from. Because, you know, on paper you can do anything. You can do anything on paper. But in terms of actual practice, so this is not domain of a department alone. It has a sphere of government that has to also come and deliver. Now, the good part is we have a plan that's projected. But because it's consented in it, you also encourage others to submit on paper, which is not on the ground, to draw down. This is what's going to happen in order to get to that point. Of course, there's no means of testing in terms of actual in-local inspection. There's no way that we're going to be able to determine. So I think that maybe what we need to do is to plan to actually go on the road to actually see this. And also test what the Honorable Mafolo was talking about, and she was talking about there, in terms of what it is, one-day job per month. Because I know municipalities are doing certain things. They're rostering people. One day a month you come around here and it's recorded as a job created in terms of this program. That's what really what's happening on the ground. So I think we will have to do it, see that. And the last thing, Chair, maybe we do need for the department to give us information. I noticed that 273 municipalities, they're paying for 260. Surely they know which are the ones that are not going to be able to fit into a program. So if they could give us some information, because they already know that a certain weakness is somewhere else and these are not going to be in the program, so that we know. And we can also interact with those municipalities and see why are they not necessarily going to be able to get into the program. That's all I want to say in addition to my earlier comment.
Thank you, Honorable are you done with your questions? You wanted to move to other questions.
Just a question that I forgot to ask you. I just want to think of the overextending for the deputy minister. And which program did that money came from? Just the total figure and where was it taken from? I know that you will be getting from treasurer if you have not found it. But how much, exactly how much, and from which program?
Yeah. Just to add that, to remind you, the question that you are about to respond to, when I disturb you about this, was the access road. You are about to get to that question, and then we deserved you. We interrupted, yeah.
Thanks, Chair. With regard to the access roads, the question was that we should be providing a breakdown with regard to the 78,130 that we have reported in quarter one of year four, and then whether any skills have been reported. I think that was the full question that I've captured here. But I have said, Jay, that we will give you a full breakdown in terms of the across the promises and across the issues up there. That would be that particular question. With regard to the, can I respond to the sustainability question? The reality of a public works program such as the EPWP, Jay, is that there would be a market bunch of projects in the fold. And it really ranges from shorter-term work opportunities and longer-term work opportunities. And the reason why I emphasize this is because all these work opportunities are project-based, which means if a project lasts for 4 months, that is the duration of that particular work opportunity. Let me give you some examples. We have an integrated work program driven by the Department of Cooperative Governance. In that program, participants would be working for 2 days per week. And what I want to emphasize is the programs are quite upfront with regard to the shortcomings. The program says 2 days per week Therefore, participants can plan the rest of their week around those days. And that is the reality of the community work program, for instance. So, which means the another one is the Zibandele in KwaZulu-Natal, where households, female households, also work for 2 days per week on those round maintenance for Zibandele in KZN. And but what to emphasize there is that it lies the strength of those kind of programs, even though participants only work for two days, sometimes 3 days a week, is around the regularity and the predictability of which means people they know exactly when they enter the program that is they have to work on a say Monday, Thursday. And the rest of the week they plan the other activities now. But then on the other hand we do have the program also in the social sector where participants work for they've been working for more than 2 years already. So in terms of sustainability on the group members, we would obviously like each and every LP work opportunity to be at least 100 days work per year. That would amount to 2 days work per week. But as I said, the reality is it varies from the infrastructure. We often have shorter term duration to the social sector environment culture. They have much longer duration. But that is project bound. And that is based on what is happening in the provincial department or in the municipality. So that is the reality. But we are working towards increasing the duration that people are on the program. Thank you, Chair.
On the issue of the Deputy Minister, like DGM indicated that we didn't have the Deputy Minister. What happened at the beginning of the financial year, the budget which was allocated for the former Deputy Minister, it was moved to the new department, hence we had to request money from National Treasury. Because the department did not have the Deputy Minister. With the appointment of the Deputy Minister, we had to request money from National Treasury. The expenditure report for compensation of employee for the end of September, it was 1.1 million and 951 for goods and services. For deputy minister and the support, it was 1,100,000 for compensation, starting from July to the end of September.
So are you saying this? I want to go back to the let's take it that you did not have it because you did not have, that's what you're saying. So the one that had, then you took it back to Treasurer. So when they were, the deputy minister was appointed, you had nothing in your coffers for the deputy minister. And then what you did is take how much from goods and services? So how much?
I think everything for 1.5 million
from goods and services.
And that is allocated for goods and services.
That's total. No, okay. All I need to the DC and your answer is you must just tell me how much did you take from which account or which program for the deputy minister. I don't need any motivation. Just say we've taken 20 rand from traveling or whatever and we used it. That's all I need. No motivation. Just the figure.
Allocation for deputy minister is 3.7 million.
No, can you listen to me so that you understand the question? Did you understand my question? Can you please assist in answering it? Because once you talk about allocation, I know that you did not have allocation. Because what you were spoken about over expenditure for the deputy minister, because you did not have deputy minister. And the gentleman next to you has just confirmed that you never had anything
in Lokofas during the appointment of the deputy minister. Now, I'm asking, where did you get the money and how much was it? But now what is going to confuse me is when you start saying there was allocation of an or whatever million. I don't know what's that.
The allocation of 3.7 million is the original money that has been allocated from National Treasury for the Deputy Minister.
How much is it?
3,753,000.
Before you took money? It was allocated before you took money from goods and services. You will wait, No, I had to tell that Mr. Makanda when I was getting my exchange. This one? Oh, they were asked somewhere else. Because that's the over-expenditure. If you are talking about over-expenditure for the deputy minister, it means you had a budget for over-expenditure because you have taken some money from the other program and paid the deputy minister. So, where did you get the money for the deputy minister? Before you could get money from Treasury, if you did eventually get the money from, and how was it?
Chairperson and honorable member, when we present the budget, we look into this better, but there's program one. The ministry gets paid from that program. So my assumption is that money, we paid the deputy minister's cost. We borrowed from that program one, the administration, to pay for the deputy minister's appointment and staff.
And then
we submitted the motivation for unforeseeable to Treasury, which is a process that we have to undertake, so that they can give us an allocation for the deputy minister to rectify the shortfall that was not budgeted for.
Meaning that we have no over-expenditure. So when you reported over-expenditure about the because of the deputy minister, it was a mistake.
So, person, I think it's long as you find it maybe at times like the savings, type of saving and irregular expenditure. Maybe that's for us as well as to talk about it. Thanks. Because, for example, I trust it too. No, I'm just. Yes. I was talking generally about why we have overspent. And I said, we also prepare the items that are not budgeted for. Maybe I should not have used that term, maybe for deputy minister, but we say that we have to pay the deputy minister's salary and his staff at end of June, and there was no provision for that. I would say overspending on the money from, because we're taking that money from program one, not necessarily, yeah, I think it's the use of the word. I guess so. Third, yes, thank you. Third, I'm authorized. Yes, oh, yeah.
Is it a first issue because you are saying you are school? If I may ask, was it there then, or we came after, so that I can understand when you say you are school?
Honorable member, maybe you're not here at the beginning. The chairperson said that we should have the request for us to come and present the budget in its entirety, and have not prepared for that. So we ask that we will come, because our presentation today is just focused on the EPWPS per your letter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we beg you that we come and address all of these things per your request.
You brought up the issues yourself. Mm-hmm. But I don't have a problem with that. But that's what came out of you as you are presenting. That's why the question. because we think that if you can't just overspend when we have no budget, you know, and at some stage we're talking about goods and services, is that it came from goods and services. It's clear that when it comes to this amount, you are not spot on. So it will be very much important that when they come again, everything, you must know that we want to know each and every cent. We want to know what you budgeted for, and what you have not used, and what you have used, and for what, and by everything. That's what we want from this committee. And immediately you make a mistake of saying something, say overextend it or underextend it, our one is going to leave you. We'll run after you until that's our responsibility, unfortunately.
No, just two things. And you see, if just to follow on the Honorable Member Yengi's line of question, the over expenditure on the result of the appointment of a deputy minister. The appointment of the deputy minister is a responsibility of the president. And therefore does not necessarily result into over expenditure by a department. Because the treasury starts to make the money available for that new function that gets into a department. So that's how it functions, how it works. So now, maybe the DG tried to say maybe the term that was used was not the right characterization of that, because it's not really a battle. It's just a matter of just a routine that, follow me, I mean, treasury will say spend money, will then throw that money out in terms of adjustment arrangement. So it's not over expenditure. But the point I wanted to make is this, I thought we were dealing with a medium-term budget policy statement process. Now, the process of coming again at some point, we would have concluded this process. So it's a different matter altogether. But the Director General is still under response to questions that relate to this particular medium-term budget. Because we have to finalize our report, we can't wait for another process that will follow later. That's a different process altogether.
Thank you, sir. When they spoke to the home affair issue, which was declared, I didn't get the response because that too, according to them, in the document from the National Treasury, it says just infrastructure. And according to them, it specifies that it had to do with home affairs, that land cost of entry. And it has to do with another department here, which affects the security of the country. So to declare such an amount really, which they say was for, it had to do with our entry points, deserves to be explained, because how much did we involve home affairs before you declare this money that it could be used, because we specifically say it had to do with home affairs.
The slide 22. Yeah, and I think the right one of myself was this money from your budget? I think that's the question. Okay.
Secretary, I think that Trevor will answer this question. Can you answer? No, I'm going to answer it, because right, as you will do now, make the request that we need so much money to the planning and budgeting process. So when we got the allocation letter, there was money allocated to the border post, which is this land post of entry, the way they are categorized here. But over and above that, capital budget for public land. So the money for land, we do break down.
if you look at our percentage, table 3, you will see the allocation. But over and above that allocation, Utsangari ring-fence a certain amount for home affairs. That's why I was saying that maybe they could also assist why they ring-fence that for what we, but Utsangari gave us that allocation, ring-fence specifically. So that we think that home affairs discussed that matter with Treasury, that there must be that allocation that is ring-fenced exclusively for them. That's what I
wanted to
explain.
Let it be clear, because we know that public work costs all these departments their clients, isn't it? So public work can say it doesn't know what its client's function is towards them, because all the departments are said to be relying on them for a certain service, which when they request for public works, it has to come. Now I want to know when this money was declared, and not just some communication between the two departments, was Home Affairs involved? As you know, that Home Affairs is a very important department in the country when it comes to all this point of entry. Is it aware that the money that it needs so much have been declared as not being very important to National Treasury? I don't say National Treasury should need answer. I'm just trying to clarify that we as a committee, especially to the DG, we understand to a certain extent, because during her presentation, another part that she tries to bring forward is that let me explain all these little things which it seems this committee does not understand. But I can say we've been dealing with this department and other departments, and our questions are 100% based on what we understand. We know you have to teach us something, but myself also bear in mind that we have a high level of understanding of what you are asking. Thank you.
When we do the budget, we'll do a breakdown of all the projects of where the money has gone to. There's quite a number of projects, if you permit us to do that.
My understanding of the question, it's a specific what you call the answer. In fact, at the beginning of your presentation, you said, when we asked, why was this 102 million? And 110 million taken away from this project. You said that they were not, because you realized that you were not going to be in a position to spend those money because there was not sufficient planning on them. I thought that maybe the question that Honourable Mashiko needs clarity on. So that she wants you to emphasize that no, you had not planned for it, why you gave them away. But the issue is that Honourable Mashiko is raising, is that it's not just between the others and the National Treasury. It involves Home Affairs. Is that what Home Affairs informs about the whole process that, look, we're not going to have to call it to spend money, and therefore we are surrendering it to National Treasury. When the Home Affairs saw it as a need, that it requires the services of port of entry and water, I think that's the question.
Yes, President, we consulted with Home Affairs about where this 110 million should be spent on. I will forward the details of that, where the money is supposed to be spent on the photo post in the committee later. I don't have them now. But we consulted with Home Affairs.
I think just to acknowledge the message I got, that with respect to violence, we probably need to consult. In fact, we need to consult this committee. And we need to work out a way of doing that. Yeah.
Can I say that I don't know if all the questions have been responded to. Yes, come on.
It becomes a problem when they say despite what is in the Public Finance Management Act. They say despite that, we are still going to do this. That's what concerns us really, because it really shows a level of control that they have to use that to pass this thing. And they know the access this, and they still say despite that, we'll be moving this money wherever we want to move it.
Okay, I think the message is clear, Honourable Masifo. As members, I guess that we are coming to the end of this presentation. But what has come out of this discussion maybe is a point that further raises. And Honourable Masifo raises about Treasury's understanding of their own, what you call it, powers in terms of the decision of whether to allow, how much they should allow as a bayonet or the shifting of funds. The Act says not more than 80%, not more than 8%, but in many instances, has been more than 8%. And clearly, as a committee, we will make, I think that is going to be part of our recommendation in this process, so that we need to tighten this close between ourselves. Parliament, we have the view that Parliament, it is Parliament that passes money. Parliament can't walk away from its responsibility. Following having past money and think that is past money sufficient, now we can walk away. That's why there is this in-year monitoring all the time. That's one thing. But this is, I think that the part, I know that there are challenges, there have been challenges in the department around your senior management. And today's presentation, that says, no, the committee did not specifically ask for the 6 months, what you call the expenditure presentation up to now. I can't, what you call it, understand that now it's going to be ready by Monday. You know, I would have thought that today we are walking up and down with technology that says that if you reason a question about the issues of the department, in that current department. In fact, we are a committee on application for this particular meeting. Our concern is this expenditure. That is our main concern. And I can understand that department because it's not been asked to do that specifically, and therefore it's not being as important to bring it. It is a must. Because now a number of questions could not be understood. We couldn't understand a number of things because there wasn't that budget, wasn't there for us to see exactly how this thing has been transpired. It made a thing difficult for us. But maybe your Office of Finance is still new, not familiar with these things because they are supposed to understand, but with a finance committee like ours, we will raise this question. To say that now they will be brought later, who's going to answer to questions if we get it demanded? That's why Honourable Ramanshagana says, was emphasizing the point that, look, we're dealing here with the MTVPS and adjustment, and we have a limited period to do that. You know, so if it comes tomorrow, something like that, the budget expenditure, it will come. But it's something that requires a meeting. I'm not saying that we shouldn't get it. We should get it. We need to, what you call it, to see it, to be able to make sense of some of the issues that have been raised today.
Thank you.
The issue of the public works, EPWP, Mr. Edison says now they've got some other figures that have gone under the table that they will produce next time so that we can get a sense of where the what you call the number of jobs that have been created now is. I can't understand. It really bugs my mind, you know. Because to us, we're taking a lot of time trying to understand this target. When you say you are on track, you are on target, it doesn't make sense to us because there are figures that are under the table that we can't see. There is this gap, which is obvious to us as a committee. I think that it really... it really begs the question of what extent do we take Parliament? I mean, there are questions, Parliament gives mandates to departments to spend this money. But you can't see when you want to be, where have you spent this money? No, we will come, we'll tell you next time where we want to tell you. We can't tell it now. Now, where do you make
Where is that, Mr. Ramadan, the ability?
Now, how do you see, how do we really measure now that where you are, as far as this is concerned, how far you are? It's difficult to make, because there are figures that are missing here. And we must be made to believe that with what we will see in this fine, this program of delivery of this 5 billion is on track. I mean, just imagine if you were in our boots with these figures, what would you say yourself? There are figures that are hidden somewhere else, but we are given every year for 50%. Now, we must believe that now we are on track. We are going to achieve this 5 million jobs. We must believe that there are other, what you call, job opportunities that have been created, some of that was still added here. But the whole objective, this defeats the whole objective of wanting to know exactly today as we speak, in 6 months' time, or at the 30th of September, where were you in terms of this program? Now, how do we make a judgment on that? The problem, you know, the problem you see with the departments. The department thinks that they know what the members are looking for. Or members are not intelligent enough for the things that they know. That is what we call the mentality of the department. They think that the members, they don't know what we're looking for. I think I heard twice that we know what we want. That's why you give us information that you think that is sufficient for officers, it's enough for members. I think we have a problem with that. I think we have a problem with that. If that happened to other members of Parliament 100 days ago, it can't be today that we still don't want what we're looking for. You know, Mr. Anderson knows, DG, that the million rand that you're talking about, the changing of that, this EPWP to give money upfront, it was advised from this committee. That says that the municipalities, especially the small municipalities, are not able to spend because they don't have a stock. Give them a stock. Now all of a sudden you think that no, there are things that we can get, and there are things that we can get. How do we assist? I think that is wrong, you know? Now the other thing that I want to say about this budget, if you can look at the original projected budget for this. This budget was meant to grow in order to achieve this 5 million. But you know what is happening now? It's declining. It's a term. This budget is declining. The budget can only decline when people are not spending so. And the person responsible for this say, no, we're on track. We understand. So we are stupid as members of Parliament. We can't see that simple thing. We don't know those what you call the simple things. Why is the department declining? I don't think that we are so naive. Might be someone might think that we are naive. We're not so naive that we don't know this thing. Why is the budget declining? Why would Treasurer allow the budget to decline rather than allow it to grow? This is a national, what you call a program of this job creation. So it's important that Treasurer will not allow money to sit where it is not being utilized. And it's not the department and the support. But it can't support it, a figure that is hiding somewhere. No, we will tell you about this figure. It has only been known by public works. That's the last thing, is the vacancies. I don't know. We didn't look at your APP before coming here. But you hear that you went to National Treasury for the vacancies that you don't have, you're looking. But without having seen your annual performance plan or your strategic plan, I think it's supposed to be there that there are funded posts. For every department has got funded posts. I don't know if public works hasn't got the funded posts, so that we can employ with the money that it has sitting with it in front of it before going out to ask for money from National Treasury. So please, it really doesn't make us what we call a feel comfortable if we see that there's an undermining kind of a thing from department. People think that there are things, but the information that is sufficient for us. And if the information is put before us, we had budgeted only 2 hours for this meeting because we thought that it was the first thing, and now we have taken over 3 hours. Why? Because information that is given is not given to us. But it doesn't mean it's not given to Parliament. But if the information is put in front of us, we could have spent an hour and all of us go. But we couldn't do it. I don't think that it should happen next time. I really don't. Unfortunately, this committee, we need follow-ups. We don't use just things in the air. As Honorable Masagana indicated, we'll make a follow-up with you with those issues that we need to make a follow-up at where you promised that you need to present to the department. We'll make a follow-up with that, but obviously those will not necessarily be within now. We have to cut, to pass the adjustments and the TDBS by the 20th of November. There's something that I didn't do, was to ask you for your closing what you call remarks before I did, but you're welcome to do that if you want to say, if you have anything to say. I'm saying, if you have anything to say, DG, you can say it now. Moving towards you.
Thank you, President and honorable members, for the opportunity. On this issue of the budget, maybe I would like to take full responsibility for what we focused on in this presentation. Maybe from my side, there was the misreading of the letter from the committee as limiting us to be to the EPWP. The issue of figures, when we continue to engage on the EPWP chapter 10, I think that we need to disclose the challenges also of reporting that have delayed the actual second quarter figures.
Please, I wanted you just to, I don't want now to come back and respond to or any person to raise questions on some of the, what you call it, things. Those that you have not raised, just not raised now, you can just move towards closing on your closing remarks.
Chairperson, you said we will submit the budget and the Immovable Asset Register presentation and also the presentation on the turnaround program. And also, Chairperson, you committed that we will provide your monthly budget report on municipalities. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I will invite you on the issues that you have raised. Thank you. Honored members, the next meeting is on Tuesday. We are... We are adopting the medium-term budget policy statement report on Tuesday. There's also another report that is outstanding. What is that? There's another report that we were supposed to have done. When are we doing that? We asked the communication. It's fine. I'm advised that you can try to ensure that you catch your earlier flight. You don't miss on your flight. Thank you very much.
PMG.
Okay. Now it's fine. So all our members were saying on. No, it's fine. It's fine. We say on Tuesday we're doing MTBD. I'm informed that we have all the copies of the MTBD. So please. Revisit them so that we can pass it on Tuesday. I will say that because we have re-invited the communications, now we will only be able to pass the report on the adjustment on Friday, the 16th. I think that Larry and Derek, we might have to see what is happening on Thursday and utilize Thursday. I think we must make that application for Thursday afternoon so that we can, in order for us to be sure that we are really, really ready. We might not conclude the report on the MTPS on Tuesday, in case that does, but I think we'll need that afternoon. Let's make sure that all the reports are ready. Honorable members, one of the staffs is not here, but Honorable Matlagana is here. We are